We live in a culture in which you're supposed to have favorites. If someone says, what's your favorite car, or who's your favorite football team, you're supposed to know, right? You're supposed to answer. And if you don't answer, if you don't say, I don't know, a Lamborghini and the Broncos, then you're undiscriminating. You don't really understand what it is to live in this world and to care about things, because obviously if you don't have a favorite, you don't pay attention. And so I think this is a good morning to confess, which I don't think I've ever done publicly, that I have a favorite plague. Now, I know that not everybody has a favorite plague of the 10 plagues that befell Egypt, but I have a favorite plague. And I should perhaps begin this by saying that I and my family have an unusual relationship to the plagues to start out with. Because growing up, all of us, that is, myself and my four brothers, and my three brothers, rather, all four of us, we used to, in succession, say the plagues in Hebrew and English as fast as we could, and the winner was the person who said the plagues the fastest. Now, this may seem to you a somewhat cavalier attitude towards human death and destruction, to make a game out of it, and I agree that it was, but we were kids, and it was all about saying the plagues fast. I'm not going to do it for you now. Oh, come on, okay. That's the 10 plagues, right? We spent a lot of time on this, I want you to know. If my brothers were here, they would say, that's nothing, and take over the microphone. You know, it depended. We all claimed we won, of course. But since my father was not sitting there with a stopwatch, I can't really tell you. Probably. My wife just said Paul. Yeah, my older brother, he's pretty good at this stuff. But I do have a favorite plague, and the plague is mentioned in this morning's parsha. And the plague is darkness. The reason that it's my favorite plague is if you think about the other plagues, blood, frogs, all those things, hail, locusts, cattle disease, none of them are things you can stop. But if you have a plague of darkness, there's a remedy. The plague of darkness is the only one that doesn't make sense. If all of a sudden the firstborn begin to die, so you pray to God, please stop this. But if all of a sudden all the lights go out, you light a candle. Darkness is the only plague that, in a sense, doesn't make sense. It has to be in some way different from normal darkness. And so the commentators rush in with explanations about what's different about this darkness from other darknesses. And I want to offer you two different explanations. I said earlier, for those of you who are here for the Torah teaching, why it is that the plague of darkness is important at all. Because the sun was a god in Egypt. And it was a way of asserting, this God is not God. You see, I can wipe out the sun like that and make it dark. But the question of what kind of magical darkness this is susceptible to two broad categories of explanation. One is that it's a social darkness. That is, the Torah says it's a darkness where one person couldn't see another. This is a darkness, of course, that we all know. In fact, in the Talmud, at the very beginning of the Talmud, the first question, what time do you read the Shema in the morning? When the rabbis wanted to define the dawn, do you know how they define the dawn? When a person can see the face of his friend. Pnei chaveiro. In other words, what is lightness in this world? Lightness is when we can see one another. And what is darkness when we can't? And that kind of darkness cannot be remedied by lighting a candle. That's a social darkness that enveloped Egypt, where they couldn't see the Israelites as human beings. because they were sunk in this darkness. And there are lots of possible causes of darkness, and the Midrash, the rabbis, when speaking about the darkness, they give us a subtle clue as to one possible cause of darkness. How thick was the darkness, they ask? It was as thick as a gold dinar. A dinar is an ancient coin. As thick as a golden coin. So if I tell you that the darkness is as thick as gold, what does it let you know? That one of the things that causes darkness is wealth. Why? Because wealth blinds you to people who are not in your circle. Wealth blinds you to poverty. Wealth blinds you to want. Wealth blinds you to all those who don't have what you have. Because, of course, when we are wealthy, when we have that gold dinar, our explanation for why we have it is never good fortune. It's always our own merit. I'm not wealthy because I was lucky enough to be born in the wealthiest country in the world in the second half of the 20th century. I'm lucky enough to be wealthy because I work hard or I'm smart. Even though, by the way, if you are smart, you didn't earn your IQ either. That was also a gift. But that was the rabbi's way of saying that wealth is not supposed to be an obstacle. It's supposed to be an opportunity. It's not supposed to be a way of distancing you from someone else. It's supposed to be a way of enabling you to help them. And that what Egypt should have done is say, here we are, a wealthy and able society. Remember what it was like when Joseph was vizier to the king, and we and the Jews were sisters and brothers. Can't we do that again? But they couldn't do it. Because there was this social darkness. That is a darkness that has never gone away. That's a darkness that is as true today as it ever was. It's true in our city. You can live in Los Angeles almost every day of your life and never see people except on television who are sunk in want and poverty and violence and cruelty. Because the thickness of the gold dinar keeps us all in this pleasant darkness. But it's not only a social malady, although it is that. There is another possibility for darkness that's not social, but is individual and psychological. And this is a completely different kind of darkness. It says all the Jews could see, even though the Egyptians couldn't, which already makes it a peculiar kind of darkness. What kind of darkness is it where one group of people can see and another group can't? Because it says, there were lights bechol moshvotechem, in all of their houses. Now, I have read that a million times, and every time I assumed it means the Jews could see and there were lights in all the Jewish houses. But the Or HaChaim, in his commentary on the Torah, says, when it says there were lights in all their houses, it means the Egyptians. The Jews could see because the Egyptians' houses gave out light. So you have to ask yourself, why couldn't the Egyptians see? And here, we explore a different kind of darkness. An individual darkness. A darkness that afflicts the person and not the society. That is, you can sit in a world of light and be sunk in darkness. It all depends how you see the dark. Some people see the dark as nothing but dark. The darkness is all terror and evil and bad. And when they enter darkness in their lives, they don't see any way out. When things are bad, they're terrible and there is no light. And things were bad in Egypt. Remember that the darkness is the ninth plague. That means there were eight preceding plagues. Don't make me say them for you again, but there were eight preceding plagues before you got to darkness. And the Egyptians didn't have the spiritual resources to believe that in that darkness there could be light. The Jews, who had suffered for hundreds of years Because they had a God knew what Rabbi Aharon of Opt once said, which is that darkness is the throne on which light must sit. In other words, that light must have darkness. That it is a precondition of light. And Jews knew that since the beginning of time, because how does God create the world? Do you remember what God does after light comes into the world? It says, Vayavdel, and God separated light from darkness. Which means that at the very beginning of time, God didn't destroy darkness, God just separated the two. You need both. If you never have dark times in your life, you will never know what light is. And if during dark times you don't believe and see and experience light, then you will have missed the experience of darkness. It is possible that the reason people believe they see ghosts and witches and phantoms in the dark is because they actually can't stand the real experience of darkness. Darkness itself is uninhabited. Darkness is just dark. And so we fill it with creatures, even fearful creatures, because we can't exist in the dark as it really is. But it puts me in mind, for those of you who experienced it, of that time now, more than a decade ago, when in the middle of the night an earthquake struck and all the lights went out. And what did we wait for? The certainty of the coming of the dawn. And you lay in utter darkness and knew that light was coming. You saw in the dark the possibility of light. And in fact, you knew that a place that is light and only light is not a good place. George Bernard Shaw once said very wisely, "The desert is a desert because the light always shines there." That's what makes a desert. Too much heat from the sun. Not enough shade. Not enough dark. Maybe that's why the Jews had to pass through a desert. They had seen dark. They had to see light so that they could make the land of Israel, which, as you know, from then to now, is a land of darkness and a land of light. So I was only a little bit kidding when I said darkness was my favorite plague. It really is. It is so rich, so beautiful, so symbolic, and so important. It is important for us to remember that we can bring light to the world around us. That if you are sitting in this room at this time, you are so blessed with good fortune that you can take that dinar, that gift, that gold, to make someone else's world light. And equally to remember about our own internal worlds, that lightness is our gift. Gam ki elech begeitz al mavet goes the most famous phrase in the most famous psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Tzal mavet means a shadow. It's darkness. But the most important word in that psalm is walk. You don't stay in the shadow. You don't stay in the darkness, but you must walk through it. And so as the Israelites left Egypt, they walked through the darkness and to the light. They did it as a society, as we must, but they also did it as individuals, as we can. And if we do, as individuals, as a people, then Choshech, darkness, will be a historical memory and not a contemporary reality. And the world, all the world, and our world will be dark no more. Shabbat Shalom.